All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for such a beautiful day. Lord, we do thank you again for opportunity to be gathered together as your church. Lord, we thank you for opportunity to just give you praise and glory this morning in all that you're doing. Lord, to come before you with our concerns and, Lord, our desires of our heart for so many that just need to know your presence in their life today. We just, Lord, we thank you that we're allowed to worship together and Lord, just to know your spirit and your presence. Lord, I thank you that your spirit is in this place. And I pray, Lord, now as we open your word, that, Lord, you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would just speak your words through me. And Lord, that we as your church today might receive the message you have for us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you got your Bibles, the book of Revelation. I don't know where that is. It's real easy to find. Last book there is, right? Revelation. You ever think about Revelation? Most of the time when you say that word, there's a lot of there's an S on the end. You realize that there is a revelation that God has given to us. No new things. And I'm not by any means going to tell you we're going to make our way through this whole book just at the moment, of course. That's an extensive study. But the Lord has put it in my heart this morning to challenge me this week with some thoughts about just really, what is it that the Lord is doing in our life today? And there's a great reminder in these verses, I think, for us as the church this morning. Verse number 1 of chapter 1 of Revelation, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Again, as I said, there's so much to discover in the book of Revelation that we don't have time to cover even a short part of it today. But we consider this morning the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, as we think about our life and our relationship with the Lord today, it's an opportunity for us to consider that God has already provided for us the things that are necessary. The things that are necessary for the church, for understanding, for revelation of what is to come, the things that we don't really know about. I think it's interesting as we talk about some of the praises this morning and be reminded of the fact that God is working, I believe, without a doubt in our hearts and our lives today as a life of this church, in this community. And whether you recognize it or not, when you turn on the television or read the newspaper or hear it on the radio, there is still a God that is working in this world.
Amen.
There is power beyond anything that we can understand, honestly, as the church or as individual believers. What we recognize as we read it in this text this morning that this is truly the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was given to him, what it says there, by God. Now, there was a revelation given by God. And I think it's interesting for us this morning to consider in the life of the church that there are things that are given by God to Jesus Christ in order to be passed along to the church.
Amen.
Now we're discerning or striving to discern this morning in the life of our church, what is the direction that God is calling us in? Where are we going and what are we doing in the days ahead if God allows us to have tomorrow? What do we do with those things? In an opportunity to consider what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks in this mindset of the new church, the new opportunity we have as a church this year, in a new year, thinking about 2020 and what is it that God is calling for us to do. The church today as a whole in our society needs new revelation from the Lord. And we have it written for us in Scripture.
Amen.
I think for us this morning, when we consider it in the life of the church, it's something that the church as a whole is looking for something different than what we've seen before. And the call, I think, for the church today is to go back to what God has already given us.
Amen.
Go back to the truth of Jesus Christ. Go back to the recognition of what we see in these verses. It says that this revelation was given to the Lord by our Heavenly Father, He says, to show unto His servants, to give us some understanding, to give us some knowledge of those things, He says, which must shortly come to pass. You realize what kind of time frame we're talking about here? It must be coming shortly, right? It's coming to pass. I want for us this morning to consider that these things are coming to pass.
That's right.
The world that we're living in today, you see all of the challenges and the difficulties of our life and the conflict of the world we live in. We see all the hurts and struggles and we wonder about all the things that are going on around us. Everything from wars and if you haven't read your Bible lately, there's all of these things are described in Scripture. Oh, we see wars, we see rumors of wars, we see fires and pestilence and disease and earthquakes and all the other things that are going on around us. It is not a mistake. It is the movement of God.
That's right.
But through the movement of God in all of those things, we see the evidence of Jesus Christ and the truth of who He is and the fact that He is still working in the hearts and lives of people that are willing to allow Him to take steps in His life and in her life. This morning in the life of the church, it's important for us to recognize the beginning of a new year as an opportunity for you and I to focus on Jesus Christ and allow Him to do what it is He desires to do in our life today. The Spirit is working and moving in these things. He says, these things which shall come to pass shortly, He says. He sent and signified it. And look what He says. He signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Another important part that I want you to consider this morning is that God desires to use people that are faithful to Him. Amen. God's desire for us today in the life of the church is to be used for His service.
Amen.
For each and every one of you. For John, in this instance, as we read it here, the revelation was passed along from the Heavenly Father to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed that to an angel and said, send this to John, right? Give this information to John. It very quickly reminds me that God wants to use us today. He wants to use you individually in His purpose, in His plan, to fulfill the things that are coming to pass. It says these things are going to come to pass, and He mentions it there shortly. And if you consider it today, just human life in itself is pretty short.
Right.
Doesn't really matter how long of life we live on this earth. In comparison to eternity, our life on this earth is pretty short.
Right.
When we gauge it according to eternity. We recognize this morning the movement of the church today that God wants to use you and I to minister to others, to reach out to the world that we live in, to use this life that He's given us to further His ministry.
Amen.
To further the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We see this message laid out here in the picture of the revelation. He says in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that He saw. Here's the important part of what we understand this morning in the context of the church. When God speaks through the Holy Spirit today, we don't have Jesus Christ here physically with us. We all know that. I'm pretty confident that none of us have seen Jesus Christ in the physical person. But we recognize Him through the Holy Spirit that God has given to us.
Amen.
When we come to recognition of the fact that we need a Savior and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit comes in. He now lives in us and He dwells in our life. And it's through that Holy Spirit that we understand the direction of God. And we see here in the life of John, it says there that he bare record of the Word of God. He bare record of the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge your heart this morning that this is the most important thing that any one of us as individual Christians could do today, and that is bear the truth of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Share the truth of Jesus Christ. Do that in every instance, in every situation in our life. That when we get up every morning, we go about the things that are necessary in our life, we know that it's the truth of Jesus Christ. We share it with our children, we share it with our husbands and our wives and our family and our friends and our co-workers and the stranger on the street, and we live in the truth of Jesus Christ. And the evidence that we see that John was doing such in this particular instance, he bore record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you're going to consider, what really is the testimony of Jesus Christ? And the definition this morning, do you ever think about your testimony? As a believer, do you think about what it means to know your testimony personally and to share that with people today? A true testimony is a witness of something that has taken place. Very simple definition, right? We share or bear witness of something that has taken place in our life. whatever that might be. That might be the things of this world. You might witness something or you might be a part of something, and now you have a testimony of what's gone on in that situation. Today, if you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and your life as your Lord and your Savior, you have a testimony.
Amen.
How you got there, how you came to a recognition that there is a God, and that He sent His one and only begotten Son to this earth to die on the cross for you, and the fact that you realized that you needed an atonement for that sin and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony.
Amen.
In your life, however you got there, if it was at a young age, if it was older in your life, later on in your life, if it was in a strange or unique way, somebody shared their faith, if it was one of the things that we see often in our world today is there's a time of crisis. A lot of times in people's lives, their testimony is revolving around a situation or difficulty in their life when they finally found out that there was nothing else they could do but turn to God. Right? Man, wouldn't it be great if our world would recognize there is nothing else to do but turn to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Instead of being the last resort, it would be the first thing that we do. That's the mission of the church. That's the goal of every one of us as believers, that we would help the world to see that. Whatever your testimony is this morning, it's important. However it is that you came to recognition, when you can remember a day and a time, if you can't remember that day or time in your life, guess what? Today's the day.
That's right.
Do it today. Make the beginning of your testimony today. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is. John bear record of these things. The testimony of Jesus Christ is that God sent Him to this earth to be born as a child in a manger, which we just celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. To live a life of obedience on this earth, walking and sharing and living in life of testimony, healing the sick and the blind and feeling all of the things that we feel as human beings and walking through the physical life that we walk through, doing it perfectly so that He could go to a cross and take care of my sin and your sin.
Amen.
So that 3 days later He could be risen again. What a testimony, right? Amen. You realize how quickly that just took place? You all know now what it means that Jesus came to this earth for you, and you know what it means to accept Him. Believe that He did all of that and accept it in your heart, and know that the only way for you to take care of your sin today is to trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's no simpler than that. That's a testimony of Jesus Christ. John bear record of those things and all the things that he saw. This is the letter of Revelation, that John bear record of the things that he saw of God. And this morning, when we consider it in the life of the church today and we think about a new year and a new opportunity, it is important for us as Christians to start recognizing that we need to bear record of the things that God is doing. We share that faithfully with the world that we live in. Blessed is he, in verse number 3, that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You wonder this morning in the life of the church for a new year, there's nothing more important than for the church to bear record of the Word of God, to understand the truth of God, and to do something with it.
Amen.
To take the knowledge of God and use it in our lives today. To make it the priority of our heart and our life. This morning he says that we would look at these things. Look what he says. Blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of these things. It's an important reminder for us this morning. Read the Word of God. Make it a priority in your life to study the Word of God. Understand the knowledge and the direction of God. And we see it in this instance, in these verses, to hear the words of this prophecy. And look what he says, keep those things which are written. Not only to see it and to read it and to hear it, but to actually keep it as a part of our life. That comes down to the very basics of our life today. That we know what it means to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Now we make a commitment this morning when we look to a new year and a new opportunity for your life individually and for the life of this church, that we would take steps of obedience in doing what God has called us to do. Whatever that looks like. Whatever it means. I don't know what it means for you. I know that God is very specific about obedience. He gives us indication in His Word of those things. And when God gives direction in your life and in my life, and we're obedient to do those things, God will bless not only you, but the body of believers that you're involved in. That means this church, this community. If you're here this morning and you're willing to worship and be a part of this body, and you're faithful and obedient to Christ, He's going to not only bless you in your life, but He's going to continue to bless the church and the ministry that God has given us here. That's an evidence of the fact that God is working. And he says in this instance that we would hold on to those things, keep those things which are written therein. Look what he says, for the time is at hand. Do you recognize this morning the time is at hand? Well, that means that we are in a time today, even today, when the world needs to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're in a time and a situation when the world is wondering about all sorts of things. Maybe for you this morning, you're wondering about things in your own life. You're wondering about direction for your life, for your family. Understanding the truth. Why is it that we are here? Why are we doing the things that we do? Why do we get up every morning? Why do we have life? Why do we have breath? Why do we do what we do? And are we doing it according to the plan and the purpose that God has outlined for us? John, it says, to the seven churches. Now we see some very specifics here. The message of where this prophecy, and in a particular context in these first few chapters of Revelation, we see an indication to the churches. Now, Lord willing, if that's the Lord's plan, in the near future, we're going to discuss some of those things about the churches in this book. But we consider some of the things that we see in the context of this verse. John to the seven churches, which are in Asia. No mistake, I want you to consider this morning, do a little bit of Bible study this week, that number seven. All throughout Scripture. The definition of completeness. Now, a lot of times we would say perfection. I don't know that it's defined as perfection, but it's defined as completeness. 7 days, everything we know was created. 7 days, seven all throughout Scripture. There's a great opportunity to study some of the very basic seven churches which are in Asia. He says, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Now consider this for just a minute. What does John say? To the seven churches. And he mentions these churches. Grace be unto you and peace from Him. And I want you to think about this verse right here this morning. This is what the importance of the church today. We recognize this morning that there is a God. What does He say? Which is. Did you see that? Which was. And which is to come.
Amen.
It's an important doctrine of the church today. That we understand today that we serve a God that has always been.
Amen.
He said, which was. From the very beginning. Do you ever think about the beginning of everything we know? You know, in human nature today, most of the time, all we can really fathom is when life began for us, right? And I'm pretty sure the baby over there has no clue about what's going on in his life from the day he was born. He don't remember that. Thankfully, we don't remember all that process. Moms do, dads do probably. But as children, we don't remember those things for just a little bit, right? God knows everything beyond any of our birth. Beyond anything that this world ever knows. All of the creation and all the things of this world that we hold on to, and all the struggles and difficulty and all the challenges of life. God was before all of those things. And it's important for the church today, if we want to know the direction of God in our life today, we've got to understand where did He come from. And understand who God is in our life today. And this morning in the life of the church, we need to make God the God that always was. And that has always been. He says, He that was in is, in that verse. Another important part of that reminder this morning, that He is still the same God.
Amen.
God doesn't change today like we do. Now the normal human process in our life is we want to change, right? The world says we should change. If we don't change, we're going to be passed by. We don't change some certain things. If we don't do this, if we don't do that. Isn't it good to know that there's a God that has always been, that will always be, and that He's not going to change?
Amen.
Wait, that's consistency that the church needs today.
Amen.
It's consistency that we need in our world. A knowledge of a God that is bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. He always is and He always has been, which was. And look what He says, is to come. Now that's a promise for the world today. That's a promise for the church. That God that sent His only begotten Son to this earth still has a plan for the future.
Amen.
The future, as long as we're on this earth today living and breathing, then God has not finished His purpose yet.
That's right.
God has not finished His purpose and His plan in your life, or you wouldn't be here today.
Right.
And I know that gets a little uncomfortable. You recognize today, if God has given you life and breath this morning, then God has a plan for you today.
Amen.
Are you willing to accept His plan? Be a part of what God has planned for you? Or we just go through the motions of life? We just go through these situations in our life. He says, that God that has always been and will always be and who is to come. And from the seven spirits, He says, which are before His throne. It's in a good indication again this morning. But we understand that God is interceding. That Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, there's intercession on our part today. There's an indication, if you didn't recognize it there in that verse, of the fact that the Holy Spirit is interceding on behalf of this church. at the throne of our Heavenly Father. So he says, the seven spirits that are before the throne of God, in correlation to the seven churches that are mentioned here. And I believe wholeheartedly for any individual Christian and any individual church that is obedient to Jesus Christ, there is intercession before the Father.
Amen.
Scripture is very plain about it. If you understand today that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf before the Heavenly Father today, where the Scripture says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. It means that the Holy Spirit is working on your behalf and my behalf when I don't even know any better. When I don't have a clue. On those days when I'm walking around doing the things that I want to do rather than the things that God wants to do, there's a Spirit that's saying, God, He still loves you and He wants to be used of you. And He's interceding on my behalf to the Heavenly Father so that the Lord might continue to provide me another breath for tomorrow. Because today He could say that's enough.
That's right.
And if we were in the standards of the world today, honestly, which one of us measure up to the standards that God expects of us? Not a one of us. That's the grace and the mercy of our God.
Amen.
He's given us love and opportunity today. And whether you recognize it or not this morning, you have opportunity. God gave you opportunity to be in this place. And the challenge for the church in 2020 is, what will we do with the opportunity that God has given to us? Do you have a hunger in your life to be the church that God has called you to be? To be the Christian that God has called you to be? To move past all the things that we hold on to, that we say are important, and just be serious about what God is calling us to do? The picture of those that are before the throne. He says, and from Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is the faithful witness? You ever think about the life of Christ beyond just simply saying He was born, He died, and went back to heaven? Look what He says. The Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. That eliminates me pretty quickly. Because most of the time I'm not faithful. Not near what I should be. It's what separates us from Jesus Christ. I'm a sinful human being. He never was. He's a faithful witness. Does it mean anything to the church today to think about a God that sent His Son to die on the cross for us, to live in our life, to be the Lord and Savior of our life, that is perfect and holy, and that is righteous and is faithful, and the first begotten of the dead? Look at that. Think about what it really meant, that Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross for you and I, and the important recognition for the church this morning, that if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you have a God that is alive.
Amen.
You have a Savior that is living. That's what He says. Do you see that picture? He's the begotten of the dead. What does that mean? That He died, but He rose again.
Amen.
That's what we celebrate. Only one time a year, unfortunately, anymore. That's kind of the way it works, right? Easter rolls around and everybody thinks about it. The church today, we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every single day.
Amen.
The fact that we have a God that is alive and breathing. We're not worshiping any idol. We're not worshiping any God that we've made up. We're not worshiping some God that somebody created a long time ago, that died a long time ago, that we think there's some priority in. We worship a God that is alive.
Amen.
We have a Savior that lives in us, and if He's alive and the Spirit is living in us, then there's a Spirit that should be moving us today in the church. A live Spirit. And whether you recognize it or not this morning, unfortunately for many of us as Christians, we're walking around like a bunch of dead Christians. Never really recognizing what Jesus is doing every single day. We ought to take advantage of the Spirit that lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And a God that was begotten. Look what He says. Begotten of the dead. And the prince. Look what He says. The prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
Amen.
Man, what would it look like in 2020 if the church really began to understand what it means to be loved by Jesus Christ? So many times today we take for granted what Jesus did for us at the cross.
Yep.
And you say, well, man, I think about it. I do. I'm grateful. Are you grateful for what Jesus did? I want you to consider this morning. One of the greatest evidences this morning that you're a Christian that is truly grateful for what Jesus did on the cross for you is that you're willing to live a life of obedience for Him today.
Amen.
That's the evidence that you're grateful for what He's done. Right? You think about gratefulness in the picture of the world today. Most of the time, this is the concept for just human nature, says, I show my gratefulness to you by giving back to you, right? Right? You give me a gift. Christmas just rolled around. You give me a gift. I'm grateful for your gift, so I show up at your house and give you one too, right? Just the way it works. I feel obligated now. You gave me something, I want to give you something. But you know, the interesting thing for the church today is that's not even a consideration. We'd do it for every person in this world. But we would not one second think about it when we talk about the gift of Jesus Christ to the church. I just accept it. I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful because I know that I'm going to heaven now. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? Just human nature says we repay those things naturally because we feel bad if we don't. You know one of the biggest reasons Christians aren't obedient to Jesus Christ today? We don't have to look Him in the face. But the Bible says very plainly, one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Now that ought to drive us as a church. Someday, we will give an answer for our life. And someday, we'll know what it means to see Jesus face to face.
Amen.
What would it be like today in the church if for the next year of your life you were willing to just simply show your thankfulness to Jesus Christ by being obedient to do what He's called you to do?
Amen.
You know today that obedience in our life, in the life of the church, we would see so many things and so much movement of God today, we couldn't even understand it.
That's right.
I challenge your heart this morning as a Christian, if you'd be willing to do what God's called you to do in the next year, a year from now, if we're in this place, if God allows us, hopefully we're going to be in a different situation. Hopefully if the Lord continues on in the track He's in, we're going to be sitting in a different building than this, worshiping together.
Amen.
That's His plan. That's what we're going to see if He allows us to do that. But when we're sitting in that new building that God's going to build for us, and you're all gathered together a year from now, yes, I'm expecting every one of you to be here a year from now. Yes. And I'm hoping I get to be here. If not, you carry on without me.
Amen.
Do what God called you to do. But would you be serious about God? So serious that a year from now we could say, look what God did because I was willing to say yes.
Amen.
For a minute. Minute by minute. You know, the biggest challenge we have is being willing to say yes right now. Right now in the minute. Because the normal tendency for human beings is to say, I'll do it tomorrow. And I'll put it on the list. And I'm the world's worst. I got a list of things a mile long to do this week. And I guarantee you they're not all going to get done. So it's going to roll over to next week. And the hardest part for most Christians today is the things of God are the least of on the list.
Yep.
What if today you made it a priority to just put God first? And we recognize that we have this relationship with the Lord. And we recognize what it means to celebrate the fact that He loved us and He washed us from our sins. And He made us who we are today. In verse 6, had made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You recognize this morning, without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. Without relationship with Him, your life is nothing. You're not the dad, the husband, the wife, the parents, the mother. You're not the children. You're not the church that we are today without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without knowledge of Him and being obedient to what He's called us to do. He has made us those things. Behold, in verse 7, look what He says. He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him, even so. Look what He says. Amen. There's a day coming when He's going to return.
Amen.
A reference, a wee indication that we think about all throughout Revelation. It's hard to swallow. There's a lot of things to discover in Revelations. They haven't read them or seen them. You consider some of those things. There's a day that's coming. I believe it's written in Scripture that the Lord is going to call His church out of this place. Scripture says that we'll meet Him in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then there's a reference to His second coming that talks about when He will come back to this earth. And we will see the things of God. And if that don't bring chills to your mind, man, think about it. There's a day coming when that God that we've been worshiping is going to show up. And everything that we've been talking about is going to be real life for us today. And I believe wholeheartedly that God wants that to be the case in our life every single day.
Amen.
He wants to make Himself real in your life if you allow Him to do it. But we recognize this morning that it all begins with what we see here. Verse number 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What does that mean? The first and the last.
Right.
He always has been. He always will be. He's been since before any of us were ever alive, before your grandparents, 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 before you can even dream of thinking about all those things. Before we go back to the very beginning of what we have recorded for us, God was there. And before all of those things, He had a plan. He had a plan for you and for me and for all the people that have yet begun to understand that plan for their life. Without a doubt, we see the movement of God at this place today. We know that God is working. I know without a doubt that God's working in your heart and your life. I know that. The challenge is, will you allow Him to do what He wants to do? Will you be comfortable enough in your life to say, Lord, even though I'm not real sure about it, I'll let You do what You want. And even though it's uncomfortable for me, I'll do it. And we take seriously the written Word of God and know that this is the direction for us. And take steps of obedience to do what He's asked us to do. That's the recognition that He has always been. That He is before us. He is the Alpha. The very beginning of everything. And it's important for the church to recognize that everything that we could ever imagine today and everything that we know in our life, that there is a God that will still be there at the end of all of that. He is the end of all things. And it's important for us this morning in the life of the church to know that if He really truly is the beginning and He is the end, then the only thing that matters is that we recognize that in our life and allow Him to be that for us. Amen. Allow Him to be the Lord, to be the beginning place for you to know your life and your direction and your understanding. He says, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Look what He says. The Almighty. It's no mistake that we've only read down this chapter, 8 verses into the chapter, and we've heard more than once that He is, He was, and He will always be. That He is the beginning, that He is the end. And if He is all of those things, and you claim that in your life this morning, then start living obediently to do what God's called you to do today. It begins with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
You say, well, I've already done that. Praise God if you've done that. If you haven't done that, today's your chance. Today's your opportunity to know what it means to know Jesus Christ. The truth of the Word of God is right in front of us this morning. The Bible tells us, we just read it, we rehearsed it. You didn't realize that the salvation message is right there in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, right? Know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's simple. God had a plan. He sent His one and only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and I so that He could take care of the sin of our life. And all we've got to do is accept that free gift. Believe that it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we now know direction for our life. And I don't believe there's a person in this world today that's not wondering where we're going and what we're doing. That's why God created us that way, so that we could look to Him for understanding and knowledge. The only difference for those of you that claim to be a follower of Christ is that hopefully you're searching that through His will and His Word. Those out there in the world are just trying to figure it out on their own. Guess through it. Hope we get to the end of our life and say we did good, right? And the only way the world can gauge whether or not we did good in our life is if we die with a whole bunch of stuff, right? If we die happy. I had that conversation just the other day. Somebody asked, if I hope I die happy, what does that mean? Right? Because we know that the death process is not happy.
Yeah.
Even if it's best, it's not comfortable. It's what's afterwards that we're looking for.
Amen.
It's the joy of heaven that we get to celebrate if you know Jesus Christ. And if you look on it on the other end, if you have no idea who Jesus is and you don't know Him as your Lord and your Savior, I guarantee you it's not happy in hell, no matter what the world says. That's eternal separation from Jesus Christ. Eternal. No way out. There's no back door in hell for you to get out and sneak into heaven. I promise you, there's no back door to heaven. Jesus says that gates are open for us if we'll just open it up. We'll just allow Him to work in our lives. He opens the door for us to walk through that place of salvation. He's given it to us this morning. If He's the Lord of your life today, is He really the Lord of your life? Is He really priority this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. And I thank You, Lord, that You've challenged our hearts this morning from this book of Revelation. Lord, we know that it is evidenced here, Lord, that Your Spirit worked and moved in the heart and the life of John. Lord, from a message that was given from the Heavenly Father to You, to an angel, to John, to be used of You on this earth.
And Lord, I pray this morning in this room that we would be a church that's willing to be used by you today. Lord, to be a servant that is called out for a service to you and obedience to you. And Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone in this room that has never truly given their heart and their life to you, that they would do that today. They would make it their priority to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and know that if they were to take their last breath on this earth today, that they would spend eternity with you in heaven. Yes. And Lord, for those of us that maybe don't know, Lord, what's next in our life? We can say we've accepted you as our Savior, but we don't know what's next. We know that there's some details you've given to us, but we've been kind of hesitant to do what you called us to do. I pray you just dismiss all that concern and that worry and that hesitation, and we'd just be willing to say yes today to you. Whatever it is, Lord, maybe there's someone here that's been saved but not been baptized. They know they need to take care of that. I pray you'd help them walk down this aisle and just make that known this morning. Lord, that they could take the first step, as your word says. The first step of obedience is doing that. Or maybe there's something else that needs to be done. Maybe there's decisions that need to be made. Somebody needs to come and be willing to make a commitment to be a part of this church. Or walk down this aisle and just say, hey, you know what? I want to put my name on the rolls of this church so that I can see what God's going to do in the next year. And I want to be committed to doing what you've called me to do. Lord, I pray you'd help them to come down this aisle and just make that commitment today. Lord, maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed so we can be right with you this morning. We just need to get our life right back with you. We know we're saved, but we know we've been walking in our own plan and our own purpose lately. I pray you just help us to do what you've called us to do. Whatever your will is in this place, Lord, help us to do what you've asked. We're going to be careful to give you the praise, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. Begin to use your hymnal. It's 448. Close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to ask Stephanie to play one more. If God's called you to do something, would you do it this morning? The opportunity's here. God's given you that direction in your life. Would you just say yes? Just be obedient to Him. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. One day, we'll answer before God. And whatever everybody else says doesn't really matter. What matters is you're willing to be obedient to your Heavenly Father today with your life. Recognize your obedience might encourage others to be obedient as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. For your Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation through Christ. And Lord, I pray as we've been reminded this morning, Lord, that you are, you always have been, Lord, you will always be. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just recognize our place before you this week. We'd be servants that you've called us to be. And we're going to give you all the praise. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.